5 minutes after the 12 o'clock hour, now's the time for the Lunch Rush, where we take a look at the top stories trending nationally in the sports world. Did you watch that Cowboys-Packers game, Angel? It's kind of interesting. I mean, Aaron Rodgers, banged up hand and everything, kind of came alive in that game.
A little bit. We were kind of waiting for the other shoe to drop with the Packers, and Rodgers is not going to go down without a fight.
No, he did not. No, he did not. There were Bronco fans yesterday going, man, I wish we had that quarterback fighting for us right now rather than Russell Wilson.
Maybe. Well, let's just get his coach.
Yeah.
That'll work.
Yeah. There was a weird decision, speaking of an old Packers coach versus a new Cowboys coach. 4th and 3 from the Green Bay 35-yard line on the first possession of overtime. McCarthy passed on trying a 53-yard field goal into the wind, with Dak Prescott instead throwing incomplete. 6 plays later, the Packers found a way to win. Mike McCarthy more kind of upset about the penalties, the overtime penalties, not so much his fourth down call.
Right on the line for the field goal. And, you know, hey, to be honest with you, I felt we needed to go for it. You know, I mean, I called it on second down, especially the way the game was going. I mean, it was, you know, big play penalty, big play penalty, big play penalty. So, you know, our thing was just keep playing. We had good calls. I'm fine with the decision. Obviously, I know we didn't convert, but, you know, 4th and 3, just didn't convert.
You good with that decision? To go for it there? It would have been a 53-yard field goal. Against the wind? Or would that have been into the wind?
I think either way, it was cold enough.
Or with the wind.
That you don't feel good about kicking in that stadium, in that environment. Nah, I wouldn't have kicked it.
So it's probably the right call.
Probably.
Probably an okay call.
He might be
call.
On his way out, so who knows?
Who knows? But the Cowboys, what are they, 6-3? So, I mean, they're still
alive.
I thought when Dak Prescott went down that first game of the season, he looked bad. Cowboys are going to have a terrible year. But somehow, here they are. It's got to be a big part of Mike McCarthy.
Coaching?
Maybe. Speaking of coaching, it's getting bad in Las Vegas, too. I mean, the Broncos might be saying farewell to Nathaniel Hackett by the end of the season or at the end of the season, but the Raiders are looking really bad. Derek Carr was as emotional as I've ever seen him. Just seeing him, you know, on the podium, whatever. He seemed like a wreck after they lost to Jeff Saturday's Indianapolis Colts.
Sorry for being emotional. I'm just pissed off about some of the things that a lot of us try and do just to practice what we put our bodies through just to sleep at night. And for that to be the result of all that effort pisses me off. Pisses a lot of guys off. It's hard knowing what some guys are doing. Like I said, just to practice what they're putting in their body just to sleep at night. Like, just so we could be there for each other. And I wish everybody in that room felt the same way about this place. And as a leader, that pisses me off, if I'm being honest.
That's rough.
I feel so. I mean, I like Derek Carr. I do. And you do wonder, like, us as fans, we get emotional. We get pissed off, too. You wonder when it just starts to take its toll. Because that's your life. That is your life. We get to separate and do other things. Your life as an NFL player is primarily football. And year after year for Derek Carr to be, in my opinion, one of the pretty tier two quarterbacks, year after year, here you are. Do you think he's insinuating that there are players in that locker room, maybe leaders in that locker room that don't feel the same way, don't feel emotional and pissed off about losing?
I don't know if it's that. I think it's going off what he said. It feels like there's people in there that don't take it seriously, that don't care if they win, don't care if they lose. We're just here for a paycheck. We're in Vegas. We're going to have some fun. Who cares? We're playing football. And for a guy like Derek Carr, who's been through so much in just the last year for that team, and he's their leader. He's their franchise
guy.
He's
been the one consistent for ever since he's been there.
Yeah, and to see him be that emotional and upset, like, it hurts to see that.
Would you trade Russell Wilson straight up for Derek Carr today?
Yes.
I think so.
Yes.
But then again, do you want him here? Because if he's crying, and again, I have no problem with players showing emotion. I welcome it. I love it. I applaud it. But if he's that emotional about the Raiders, do you want to come here with Luke Wattenberg in this offensive line, because there might be more tears to come. It's going to be a battle of the tears. Do you wish there was more raw emotion like that from Russ, though? Because, I mean, that's, you hear Derek Carr, you hear Aaron Rodgers, you hear guys get mad, you get fired up. Russ doesn't have that.
No, and even in the post game yesterday, Russ didn't. I get onto him because he's always smiling during his press conferences, and it kind of irks me. But he looked so dejected yesterday. He didn't do the let's ride thing at the end. He just walked off, head down. That's probably the saddest I've seen Russell this year. And that's got to mean something to be at this point. And you're just coming off a win. You're coming off the bye. You should be feeling good, and it feels even worse.
Mm. What went wrong for Denver yesterday? Defensively, they were there again. I mean, Angel, this defense is right there in the conversation of the no-fly zone. Now, the no-fly zone created game-changing turnovers. Now, the Titans had a turnover that was pretty significant, but you know, you bring in Malik Willis for a read option, and he doesn't get the read option right, and then ends up fumbling the ball when he's in, and the Broncos get it. Yeah, it felt like it could be a game changer, but I wouldn't say that that defense necessarily forced that. I mean, maybe, but it was a botched play. It was a botched read option.
Yeah, and you know, Patrick Surtain, Kareem Jackson, Justin Simmons, these guys
are
great
players.
But that aspect of the defense not getting turnover plays, not even picks, but you know, a pick and a run back for 15 or a fumble recovery for 20 or something, not momentum, sudden change kind of plays.
Yeah, so that's the difference. It's not saying they're not a great defense. They are.
They are.
They are a great defense, but if we want to compare them to historically good defenses, the difference was that Broncos offense with Brock Osweiler was better. Trust me, the offense with you and I taking turns at quarterback would be better than what we're seeing right now.
Or we're just line, playing Madden.
At line, maybe. We throw us in there. At least we tell jokes and like throw them off. The D linemen, they'd be so thrown off and be like, I don't know what I'm doing. What am I doing? We'd at least stall them. Distractions.
I think you could be a good pulling guard.
Yeah, I think so. Distractions, though. Yeah. You know what I mean? Look over there.
Oh, Brady's doing a cartwheel down the 20-yard line.
Yep, that's the kind of stuff that would throw them off. They'd be like, why? The play started. Why is that guy doing that? Why is Angel dropping down doing the worm suddenly?
Because no one else can do it like me.
Can you actually do that?
No.
Okay.
That's a bloody nose waiting to happen.
That's the thing, man. It's just like this defense has to be, if you want to, everybody was tweeting it. Everybody was tweeting, if the Broncos want to win, defense is going to have to score. And you can't count on that. That is a dangerous way to live your life. You cannot count on the defense to get a score for you. It just doesn't happen that often.
You can hope for it when your offense is having a bad day, but this offense is just bad.
Right. And again, being a defensive player, you could be the best NFL player in the league, but if I go away from you, you make zero impact on me. If I know Patrick Surtain, if I throw it anywhere near this guy, there's a good chance he baits me, picks it off, or just has a great bit of coverage to knock the ball loose, knock it up in the air. I can go away from that guy. I can game plan around Patrick Surtain, which means he's going to cut off half of the field, but it means he's also not forcing turnovers. He's not going to be that guy. That's what's nice about an elite pass rusher, and you saw that with Von Miller in that playoff run, was he was creating. You know, what I said at the beginning of the show, Angel, was defense, first and foremost, it's about disruption. How do we disrupt their play from the get-go? How do we throw players off their route? How do we push this offensive line back out of their comfort zone? How do we make that quarterback drop, move to the right or to the left or move up in the pocket? How do we get him to move around? Because the chances of us finding success defensively really depend upon our ability to make you uncomfortable, our ability to move you around. Now, the Broncos defense does that. They do move things around. They have sound coverage. Like their coverage, their secondary is second to none. In my opinion. But you don't have those crazy sack from behind. There's a fumble. We have a guy that has a nose for the football. As soon as that ball hits the ground, he's picking it up. He's advancing the football. He's getting the ball to midfield. You're not seeing it. You know, the fly zone was so good because they had everything. That's why historically they're one of the best defenses ever. Because they could stop you. They weren't a bend but don't break defense. They were a don't break defense that sometimes is going to force turnovers. We're going to force a fumble out of your hands. We're going to sack you, strip sack. We're going to get that pick six. We're going to have a safety bait you. It's just tough because that defense is so good. So good. And you have nothing to show for it. You have a 3-16. Nothing to show for it. And that's the most frustrating part of this is when I asked the Method Flow Products poll question, is this the worst season you've ever seen as a Broncos fan? You can say, if you say yes, you probably feel guilty because you're like, wait, one of the units is one of the best we've ever seen. Top five right now of all time, maybe. Maybe this defense, this group is one of the top fives. I don't know. Maybe not, but they're up there.
But this team won't be remembered for this defense.
If you don't win, you aren't remembered. If the Broncos were 6-3, but their offense was just as bad, but instead of 17-10, Broncos got a pick six instead of the Titans scoring, and the Broncos end up winning 17-10, and you're talking about the defense, yeah, you're going, wow, that offense is bad. Thank God for this defense. 6-3, but the defense is that good, offense is that bad. You're remembering this. You're talking about it. I mean, Peyton Manning was bad his final year. And we all remember. That's what we talk about, is that Peyton Manning for 3 years with Denver was awesome. Record-breaking, one of the best ever. Maybe three of his best seasons ever, more so than what he did with Indy. But his fourth season, we don't really talk about how bad Manning was. We just talk about how he went out on top. But then when we talk about it, we say, yeah, but the no-fly zone defense. Von Miller was the Super Bowl MVP. Chris Harris Jr., Aqib Talib, T.J. Ward, Darian Stewart. I mean, the list went on. Danny Trevathan. Amazing players that you remember. You're not going to remember how good this defense is. Because we're going to go down the road. I mean, do you remember how the Broncos defense was really good in the Tebow year? But we really don't talk about it that much. Because it was Tebow. To overcome Tebow and Peyton Manning, you have to have an elite defense that wins big. If the Broncos would have fizzled and lost in the AFC Championship game, do you think we'd be talking that much about that no-fly zone defense? I think it'd be a part of it. If you're a Broncos fan, if you're diehard, I don't think that that's something you're building up and talking about all the time.
Do you think with this loss, does the defense kind of just get frustrated and maybe step back a bit the rest of the season if they realize this offense isn't going to take us anywhere?
I don't know. I've thought about that a lot, too. Like, when does it get to the point where it's like we are mentally exhausted because we cannot make a mistake? And they did. Even the greatest defense of all time is going to have a handful of mistakes in a game.
And really, it was one play against Tennessee.
Yeah.
And it was a trick play.
It was the trick play. And well, then the read off, or yeah, the flea flicker, which was, I mean, good
well
job
executed
by Vrabel.
Flea
I mean, to call that
awesome.
Play at that time.
When that kind of play works, it's awesome.
And they also fall down, too, so that made it even better. But Derrick Henry had a couple of good runs where you're going, okay, they're really going to try to lean on Derrick Henry here. They're going to see if they can get him going. And then they looked like he was going to get the ball up to the right, turns around, and what a play call. You're right. When it works, you're a genius. When it doesn't, it's like, was that really the right time to do that? But you're right. That was the play. That was the game. That changed everything. And you can't play like that. Like, that is so hard for this defense. Your back is against the wall. If you slip, you lose. That's how perfect this defense needs to be.
Oh, and then you get a stop at the end, give your offense the ball back with a chance to tie it, and can't finish.
Yeah.
And that's incredibly frustrating.
Oh, and look at what they're doing with the injuries. I mean, your first weekend without Bradley Chubb, and his replacement isn't even there. Baron Browning's not there.
Justin Simmons wasn't out
Justin
there.
Simmons is pulled late in the weekend, we heard. So you got no Justin Simmons. We already know the cornerback situation has been rough. You know, obviously you have Patrick Surtain, but then Kiwan Williams gets hurt too again, and the injuries just continue to pile up. And yet, the defense has felt not. Is Ejiro Evero that good? Like, why are they able to next man up, and the Broncos aren't on offense? And I get that the offensive line is the nucleus to any offense you want to run. And that's the worst spot to have not one, not two, not three, but four injuries to starters and backups. But the defense has found a way. Is Evero, do you consider this guy for being the head coach next year? Obviously, the way the NFL is, you're either a defensive guy or an offensive guy. You have to learn the other one on the fly. So the Broncos will hire either an offensive guy or a defensive guy. You're going to have to make that decision anyway. Do you consider hiring, not even making this a wide search? You just go with a guy that's got one unit that's playing out of their minds, no matter the injuries or whatever. And then here's the other thing. I saw this from Zach Stevens. I shared this one, Angel. What was the best play of the day for the Broncos offensively?
Was Virgil's touchdown?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Zach Stevens tweeted last night, Hackett said after the game, Russell audibled into that play. So that goes back to our who is it, Russ or Nathaniel? Well, you heard something else from Nathaniel Hackett last week, that there were times where he would call a play and Russ would change it and he wasn't crazy about it, but it ended up working. So it was like Russ's stuff was working, Hackett's is not. Do you watch during the game, during the broadcast, they pointed out, you know, Jerry Rossberg, Nathaniel Hackett saying it was such a great hire and all that stuff. My father-in-law is sitting there with me watching, and he goes, well, that's a mark of a good leader, right? You recognize your weakness. And I said, yes and no. If I hire you to be my head coach, but you need to hire someone to help you be the head coach, well, then why don't I get rid of you both and just hire one guy that I believe can be the head coach? I don't need the head coach to hire people to teach him how to be a head coach. I need a head coach that already knows. Like, Angel, you're producing this show every day. Brady, I need guidance back here. Oh, so you want to hire another guy behind you to help you with decisions during the production work? Why not just hire one really great producer? Which you are. You don't need Jerry Rossberg. You're welcome. Good job.
Awesome.
But this whole thing of like when the broadcast was talking about Hackett would call a play and he would get so frustrated with that play that it was like he's playing catch up and he needed to make an aggressive play call here. And I'm listening to that in the game going, are you serious? Is it that bad?
Well, didn't we hear from Hackett earlier this season that he was emotional with his play calls?
Yeah, and then we're still hearing that. That it's just more of that, more of the same with that stuff. So when do we call this what it is? Can you truly evaluate Hackett with the given the injuries, or have you heard and seen enough? Texter from the 970. How about them Pokes? Wyoming got it done. And they did it without their starting quarterback for most of the game. And a game where Titus Swen was kind of contained. That CSU team, I'm telling you. Now, they get way more credit here because they got a freshman quarterback. But doesn't that CSU team remind you of the Broncos? Great defense. Couple of playmakers. But Clay is not Russ in this scenario. And Norvell is not Hackett in this scenario. Clay is a young up-and-comer. Jay is a new coach with a complete new philosophy that he's trying to change here. It'd be one thing if Jay Norvell inherited or brought with him a Carson Strong. But he has a freshman who's going to just get better and better. But they do have a lot of similarities.
Yeah, the defense plays with a lot of energy. They like to make, you know, big plays, stopping the run, stopping Wyoming from moving the ball. And then you give the ball to the offense, and you're back on the field.
Yeah.
And that's no slight to Clay. I think he's great. He's been showing a lot of improvement.
Oh, no question.
He's running the ball like a madman. Like, I know he said he wanted to stop that, but it's working.
I mean, he has to. Yeah, I was sitting next to the media guys with me at the game, and I said, you know, I'm getting a lot of people tweeting saying, their corners, we can beat their corners. Just, you got to drop Clay back and throw it every time. He doesn't have the time to drop back and heave it deep. He doesn't have that. He did get one. He hit one deep with
Torrey Horton. He had
Torrey
a couple
Horton.
Of shots downfield.
But you can only do that so much with a makeshift offensive line. You can't live off of that. Just like Russ couldn't do that last night either, or yesterday either. B-Rad texting in, after watching Justin Jefferson yesterday, how can any Broncos fan not be over Jerry Jeudy? Listen, I can give you. You want me to give you the list of people that I'm officially over with? I'm officially over Jerry Jeudy. I know he got hurt, but I'm like, either you kind of getting it going and then there's drama, or you're kind of getting it going and then you're hurt. I just don't see it. I'm over Melvin Gordon. I'm done. I think we're all done. He's a nice guy, but I'm done. Offensively, who else? Am I over Courtland Sutton? He made some miraculous catches, but then he just drops wide open stuff too.
He doesn't play like the wide receiver one that he should be.
Yeah. You're right. That's exactly right. Am I over Russell Wilson? That's the thing. Like, I don't know that we can be. They won't allow us to be over Russell Wilson.
I feel bad for Russ.
After yesterday, I certainly do.
After months of, you know, mocking and joking about him and all in jest, but I actually feel bad now because, like, the wristband stuff, can't even make a joke about it because it's obviously not the wristband's fault.
Yeah, it's not. Yeah, it has nothing to do with the wristband now. Well, if it's all Hackett's plays on that wristband.
Or they're just different.
Are we over Nathaniel Hackett?
Yes.
Probably.
And I get the sense that that locker room is over him too.
Because to start the show, I'm thinking of all the injuries and I'm going through it. And I'm like, at the end of the day, though, you couldn't get the plays in. You made the wrong decision early. You admitted that you're too emotional with play calling. You had to hire Jerry Rosberg. You can't get anybody motivated on this offensive side. You didn't play Melvin Gordon one entire half. Like, you benched him completely and then you started him the next week. It's just enough things now where I just go, he doesn't have it.
There's no confidence as a fan in this coach.
No. You cut your bait, cut your losses, move on from Hackett, and have Russell Wilson, you know, just try your best, find a guy that fits Russell Wilson. Got to find that perfect fit. Who can do it? 27 minutes after the hour, we're going to take a short break. When we come back, let's talk about the Denver Nuggets. Joker had 14 assists. He didn't even play the fourth quarter. That's great news, also terrible news. I'll tell you what I mean next. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Sunday and Monday Night Football are on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Hi, this is Terry Fry, author, journalist, screenwriter, and you're listening to Brady Hull on the whole show, 1310 KFKA.
Minutes after the hour. Welcome back to the whole show powered by PDC Energy. Maybe that's how Russell Wilson needs to just view this bad boy. We're going down anyway. Time to just throw it up. See what happens. I want to see now I'm at the point where it's like, let me see Danger Russ come out. Let me see angry, pissed off. I don't want to answer any of your questions. We got to get better. Let me see that guy. I don't want to see dejected. I don't want to see positive Pete. I want to just see somebody that's pissed off at that podium now.
You ever done anything dangerous?
Not in, but in a different way. Like just be that. Don't say it. Just be it. Just be
the bad guy.
But I told my wife about all the stuff, the danger. We're watching the game. She comes in, of course, late in the fourth quarter because she doesn't give a damn about the rest of the game. And I'm like, guys, you know, she likes Russell Wilson. She likes the good guys and all that stuff. And as he's like running around, I'm like, God, the poor guy is like on the run. And my wife's like yelling, she's like, come on, be dangerous. And I was like, yeah, but be that. Don't say it. Be it. That's my inspirational speech to him.
I'm sure he's listening.
Probably.
Russ, are you listening?
He
at us at 1310 KFK on Twitter.
He ain't going to admit it if he is. Angel, I'm sure he's listening. Why do you doubt our listenership? Why do you doubt it?
I don't doubt it.
Why
I'm
do you
just
doubt
asking
that
if
Russell
he is.
Wilson's listening? That's such a doubtful thing to say.
I'm sure he listens to many things, podcasts and shows and all kinds
I'll
of
bet
stuff.
He doesn't listen to sports talk. I would bet a dollar on that.
So what does he do at home in his free time?
I bet he listens to podcasts, but it's like, hey, you can do this. I promise you.
It's okay, Russ.
It's going to be okay.
At least it's not raining.
Nikola Jokic had 14 assists last night against the Chicago Bulls. Michael Porter Jr. was the star. On any given night, I feel like the scoring star could be MPJ, could be Jamal Murray, could be Bruce Brown, it could be Aaron Gordon, or it could very well be Nikola Jokic, which is what, if you're betting, you might bet on that. That's great for the Nuggets. That makes the Joker better than ever. When he can have four, he didn't play the fourth quarter. He didn't play in the fourth. They had that big of a win. He had 8 points. Correct me if I'm wrong, Angel. 8 points, 6 boards, 14 assists.
Let's see. 28 minutes, 8 points, 14 assists, and 6 rebounds.
Got it. Got it. I absolutely think that Nikola Jokic is the best player in the NBA. But those numbers, that ain't going to win the MVP. Luka's averaging 31. Giannis is averaging over 31. Tatum's averaging over 31. It's just, it's not, Joker's averaging 21. So, this is the way Joker would rather this thing go down, is the fact that he is getting assists, getting rebounds. His teammates are better. I tweeted about this last night, Angel. The team around him is better. He has weapons. So when he makes those passes, there's a better chance of them converting to create an assist. He didn't have that last year. So when time after time, when you don't have it, you finally just say, I could pass or I'm taking it in and one. I've got the points. I do believe what Katie Wingy told us, that Joker truly believes this, that if you score, you make one person happy. If you have an assist, you make two people happy. And I do think in my heart of hearts, Nikola Jokic would rather make two people happy than one. I don't think that's Luka or Giannis, or I'm not to say that they're the bad guys or that they don't want to pass the ball, but if Giannis could rather have 14 assists and 8 points or 31 points and 5 assists, which one is he choosing? Same with Luka, same with Tatum, same with all those guys. Probably going to choose the point total. Doesn't right. make him a bad guy.
No, and this is not discrediting Jokic's game at all. It's actually giving him more praise for it. Because he was able to win two MVPs playing so differently than what we're seeing now and what we saw in the past with a full, healthy team. And I love it. I would gladly trade an NBA title for another MVP. And I think he would, too.
And that's what's missing from him right now.
Yes.
So that's the thing. Like, when I say that Joker's not going to win back-to-back-to-back MVPs, it's not me saying he's any worse than last year.
He's not putting up MVP numbers, but he is still an MVP.
He's not. To me, he is putting up MVP numbers in what it means, most valuable player.
Right.
But he's not putting up, what would you call it?
The
best
MVP
player
numbers.
In the league, whatever. It's like the Heisman in college. The Heisman is supposed to be about a player. He's good, but he also is the definition of representing the NCAA in a positive light. Tim Tebow was that guy. He was. Through anybody, Tim Tebow was probably more Heisman than anybody in the history of Heisman. That award was never supposed to be MVP, but it is now. That's what it is. The NBA MVP is not necessarily the most valuable player. It's the highest score. That's the most important thing in basketball, and I'm not arguing it. Scoring the basket is the thing to do. Assists, rebounds, defense, all that stuff, effort. That is a distant second to scoring the basketball. And Nikola Jokic will not be doing that that much this year. But that's a good thing. He's going to be better this year because of that. He's going to have the assists. 14 assists, and the Nuggets are not losing many games. That means you're getting everybody involved, and this team's feeling great. So, 39 minutes after the hour, Nuggets are 9-4 on the season, and this was supposed to be kind of a clunky month for them, and they're seeing their way through it. We're almost halfway through November. Let's get the latest on the local Sports Flash.
Hey, Nuggets fans, this is Coach Bowen of the Denver Nuggets, and you're listening to The Whole Show on 1310 KSKA.
It's kind of funny. My 4.5-year-old, he doesn't, he, like, if he sees sports are on and stuff, he kind of will be like, oh, that's cool. I like some of this stuff. That's neat. And then usually runs away. But it, I wish I could have filmed it because it was perfect, Angel. He runs in, he stands there, and I'm like, Gavin, look, the Broncos are playing football. And he just kind of stands there and he's watching. And it was like really bad play. And he just like looks at it, turns around, runs away. And I'm like, that is exactly how Broncos country feels right now. They're like, oh, the Broncos got a fumble? Maybe. There's hope. Oh, I'm going to go do something else. It's totally fitting for the situation that we're in right now. I apologize for the negativity, but it's where we are. We're getting tired of it, dude. We're going on year 7, 3-6. It's not looking like the playoffs are there. So you're going on year 7 of more of the same. Another new coach, another new quarterback, another new GM, more of the same.
5% chance to make the playoffs.
Yeah, there really is, which is weird.
You're not eliminated yet.
I figured for sure. Like, what does it look like? What does the playoff situation look like? Let's see. They're 12th. They're behind Cleveland, which you helped us out with that, with the Miami Dolphins. Jeff Saturday's Indianapolis Colts have a better chance to get in with the Broncos. Jeff freaking Saturday.
He's undefeated.
Since he's at 5. If you would have won yesterday, you would have put yourself in a golden position to make a strike here, to make a change, to push for that playoff spot. Because it's 7, right? The Patriots are holding on to it at 5-4. Then the Chargers 5-4, Bengals 5-4, Colts 4-5, Browns 3-6, Broncos 3-6. Yeah, got to win games. Got to score points. Can't do that. I don't see it changing. Now this week we'll give them a chance to evaluate and see if there's anybody that they can get from practice squads and such to help out with that offensive line, because you got to find a way to make that better. But it's just, it's a frustrating spot right now, man. Texter says Russell Wilson's got to be on that list as far as people that you're frustrated with, that you're over. It's weird, Angel. I can't be over Russ because it does us no good. Because he's here to stay. Sutton, you could trade. There's some trade value there. Russ, there's no trade value. No one's trading for that contract.
Oh, and he's just depreciating himself each week.
And the Broncos aren't going to trade him yet because you would admit that you threw all those draft picks away, which was the biggest criticism of the move. So you can't do it. So I can say I'm over Russell Wilson. It doesn't matter. It's like you live in Colorado saying, I'm over the politics. Are you going to move? No. Well, then you're not really over it. I'm over Russell Wilson. You going to stop watching? No. Because that's a fixture. He is here to stay.
Are you over George Payton?
Almost. I don't see him getting the axe at the end of the season. He's got to find a way to make some magic happen in the offseason, which is going to be easier said than done.
Well, that first-round pick becomes crucial now.
Yeah. Tanner asked me if we were talking around during one of the breaks, and he said, if there was a quarterback and somehow you could get to that quarterback in the first round, would you take him for the Broncos? And I said, then George Payton should be on the first bus out of Denver if you do. Because you're not going to waste a first-round pick, the one you just got back, on a quarterback that it ain't going to matter. You're not benching Russell Wilson. Dude, he's got to go at least 3 to 4 seasons. That's the way it is. There's no way. You have to draft somebody in the first round that's going to be a benefit to this team and help Russell Wilson now. It's going to have to be an offensive lineman. You have to go O-lineman. If ever there's been a season to go O-lineman, this is the one. 12:49 the time. We are going to have a fun show coming up here. The Clay Millen Show is coming up at 1:05. And I'm really looking forward to it. We're going to have Jack Howell and Henry Blackburn on the program. Two stud defensive players for Colorado State. Basically, Clay said, hey, That defense has been awesome. I'm bringing them in with me. We're going to talk about some defense with Colorado State, and it has been good. So we're looking forward to talking to both of those guys along with Clay during a special Clay Millen show presented by Crazy Carl's Pizza. Don't miss it. We'll be right back. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA. I really must have lost my mind.
Sunday and Monday Night Football are on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
What's up, Hooligans? This is Zach Stevens with DNVR Broncos, and you're listening to the whole show on 1310 KFKA.
That is the song that just keeps running through my brain while I'm watching the Broncos and the offense. Listen, dude, defensively, you kind of controlled everything the Titans want to do. Derrick Henry, 19 carries. Hell, dude, I said the Broncos might be able to win if Henry had 100 yards. 19 carries, 53 yards. He was averaging 2.8 yards per carry. Ryan Tannehill, 255. Nothing crazy. Nobody else destroyed you. It's just, and then but the flea flicker was like 80,000 yards. It was 63 yard pass. That one hurt. But nothing else. Go over to the offense. You ran for 65 yards. You did the same thing Tennessee did, only it took you more guys to get there. Russ was 21 of 42 for 286 yards, one touchdown, did throw the pick, but sacked six times. How much can we really say? When Russ did have the moments he had time, he wasn't good. Listen, this is not an apology for Russ type show today. This is a how can you put the blame on Russ? This isn't erase anything that he's done in the past, but that game didn't really have much to do with Russell Wilson, did it? I mean, Hackett said he audibled into that call for Virgil. So, what would have been the call before that? Run up the gut from the shotgun?
Can't do that because there's a defensive lineman right there.
Yeah. They're in the backfield before you can get the ball to your hand. I mean, they're right there. It was rough. But defensively, we're seeing some really great things. And that's a bummer about it because at 3-6, I don't know that we'll be able to really live on and tell this great story about this defense because no one's going to care if you win five games and you fizzle out. Is there still hope? Got the Raiders this weekend?
I'll take the under.
Well, yeah, for the rest of the season. Raiders-Panthers. I mean, the Titans, it's not like the Titans were a slouch. Raiders-Panthers, you win those two games, is there like a belief growing? Does a belief start to grow that you can win games? That you can change your fate? That you can sniff the playoffs? And it's the Ravens and the Chiefs after that, but you know, I would take beating the Raiders and the Panthers and having a moment to go, oh, maybe. Clay Millen Show, presented by Crazy Carl's Pizza, up next.